From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On tonight's episode, our 21st, we feature beers from Pelican Pub and Brewery from Pacific City, Oregon, on the Oregon coast. And we have four different beers from them to try. We also have a strange brew segment from Almanac in San Francisco, Emperor Norton. I'm Dallas Hulliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton, and Joel Miner, and as always, from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey guys.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Podcast time.
Beer drinking time.
Pumped.
Yeah. Anyone have any interesting beers they wanted to talk about that they had this week? Andrew?
I didn't have one.
You didn't have an interesting beer?
I had one beer this week. I had a lot of it, but I only had one.
It hasn't been that long. It's only been a couple days since our last show.
It was a homebrew that me and Joel brewed, but it wasn't that interesting, so I'll save that for you guys.
All right. Well, I had one that I was impressed by. I was at OTP on Tuesday for trivia night, and I was chatting with Jeff on the IM, on the text message, about what breweries we wanted to go to when we were in Las Vegas in 2 weeks. And he's like, well, we can go to Joseph James. They're in Henderson, Nevada. It's a Uber ride for sure, but that might be one to check out. And then I look at the board, and there is a Joseph James beer on the board. So I had to get it. It was their anniversary ale, 11%. This was the thickest, most chocolatey, richest chocolatey beer I've ever had in my life. It was pretty amazing. Maybe you just have one of them, you know, and they serve it in a tulip at 11%. That's all you need. But it was a really good dessert beer.
Now, for anniversary beer, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah. Andy wasn't a fan of the Claremont last week. Their third anniversary. Is that what it was? Third?
Third anniversary, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anything? All right. Well, then let's move into the first beer of the day. We have the Kiwanda Cream Ale, 5.4%. This is our first Pelican Pub and Brewery beer. So they put pub and brewery in their name. I mean, everybody says either brewery or brewing company. And, you know, they have a big restaurant right there as well. And so they're big into pairing food with beer. And so they, you know, the pub is important in their name because, you know, it's not just they just have beer. They have, you know, it's a full service establishment.
Yeah, I think when you have food and you brew beer, you have to call yourself a pub. You're not a brewery anymore.
But, well, by law?
By law. No, yeah, by law.
Well, they're not breaking the law.
They're compliant.
Interesting smell on this. I get like some bubble gum or something. Or very like fruit, like.
Very, it's very clean, golden color too.
Yeah,
very clean. It's got that light.
If someone told me before I drank this that when I'm putting my nose into this glass that it's a glass of wine, I would not be like, oh no, that's beer. I get a little bit of a white wine Chardonnay smell to it.
I do too.
Yeah,
I get a lot of like fruitiness though. I get like it smells a little like a longboard lager. It has kind of those fruity notes to it, but maybe even more so.
I don't drink a lot of.
I get some melon, you know.
I see the longboard thing. I get like the straw smell also, though. I don't get a lot of fruitiness, though.
I get the fruitiness, and I mean, I don't drink a lot of cream ales, but this is a lot more clear than I expected. I sort of thought it would be a little cloudy. I didn't expect this clarity and this amount of carbonation.
Andy, have you already taken a sip?
Yeah. Trying to think of what I think about it. It kind of has like a...
It reminds me of Heller High Watermelon a little bit.
Yeah, but it's got like that corny finish.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, there's not as much watermelon here, but the sweetness and the consistency.
That finish is the same, I think, minus the watermelon.
This may be blasphemy and terrible to say, but for both smell and taste, I'm reminded of Coors Light.
I think it's that corn,
yeah,
taste. That, like, corn sweetness.
Yeah. I think I'm shocked that the smell of it doesn't come across on the flavor at all. I'm not getting a lot of what I smell in the taste. I'm not getting that fruitiness. I'm getting a lot more of that mellow, you know, just standard
flavor. When I think of cream ales, usually I think of more crispness, you know. This is more like a dirty lager than crisp ale, you know.
Yeah, but do you get dirty tones from it? Like, I get sweetness, and, you know, I don't get anything that's unpleasant about drinking it.
Yeah, dirty isn't unpleasant for me, not necessarily in texture or actual flavor.
I'm feeling like it's just kind of, it's not unpleasant, it's just nondescript.
I think it's very drinkable. I mean, yeah. To me, a cream ale is kind of like a pale lager. I mean, I feel like this has a lot of characteristics of a lager, but it's technically an ale. And I don't know, I get what you're saying about Coors Light. It kind of has that macro brewery taste, but it's got the kind of corn sweet finish. It's very drinkable. It's not real flavorful, but I like it.
So if you grew up in the sticks, sometimes, like, you put straw in your mouth when you're wearing a hat, like, out working in the field. Like, I think Andy said it before, it has that straw flavor. It has a little bit of that taste to it. I would agree that it's not unpleasant.
All right.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. We had Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest was the beer of the day earlier this week, and Hopper 1971 chimed in and said that my favorite Oktoberfest of the year, really liked the touch of hops to this style, smooth and easy drinking. I think he hit it right on the head. I mean, it's very classic Oktoberfest style, and they collaborated with an old school German brewery to make it, but then they put their little Sierra Nevada touch on it. Yeah. And I was impressed with that beer this year.
They nailed it this year for sure.
Yeah, so of all the ones I've had, that one is good, and a good comment by Hopper. Kent in Minneapolis had a comment for our last show, October Spectacular. Glad you reviewed and liked 24 Karat Golden Ale after reading about it on the Stone website and seeing bottles on the shelf in Minnesota. I had still been on the fence about picking up the bottle. Your review convinced me to go out and grab one or two bottles of this. Thanks. So
nice.
Glad we could help you out. It's rare that we have a unanimous pick, and for that to be the Strange Brew that all four of us picked.
Yeah. Well, you won't regret it. That's a great beer.
It's unlike anything else you're going to try. So that was very good. And Kent, I sent off your coasters today. So maybe Tuesday when this episode's coming out, you can check your mailbox and your six-pack of coasters will be in there. Anyone else who wants to comment on this program, you can do so on the website in the comment section under the podcast page, or on Facebook when we post the link, or on Twitter. And I will pick one listener of this show and send off another six-pack of Beer of the Day coasters.
Family six-pack.
This week. All right, let's move into the next beer. We have Flockwave Unfiltered Pale Ale. Flockwave is like the Pelican equivalent of Shockwave. You get that? And Unfiltered Pale Ale, that's my favorite kind.
Me too. I'm looking forward to this.
5.9%, 45 IBU.
Lots of head.
As I like.
Don't we all?
Yeah, a lot of head. It's about the same color as the last beer, that light gold, light yellow color. Kind of a little iridescence to it. Little cloudy,
yep,
as you'd expect with your unfiltered pale ale.
There's, if you look in the bottom of the bottle, there's just like tons of floaties, just big, thick pieces of stuff.
All right. I'd like to chew my beer. Didn't eat dinner tonight. Hop aroma It's on the lighter side.
Some of those, like those fruity notes, a lot
from,
of
from the same beer. Yeah. It's like that same smell as the last beer, but then there's a little hoppiness on top of it.
This one, I could, the last one, I just didn't smell much of anything. This one, you really get a good whiff of it.
It's pretty light. I mean, it's 5.9%, but two sips in, and it's pretty light bodied for what I was expecting. I like the flavor, but it's light on the lighter side.
It is. You take that last beer and you add just a touch more maltiness, and I kind of get this, you know, I think they're kind of in the same family. Maybe they're brewed by the same brewery.
there's more hoppiness, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think a touch more maltiness too. Like there's a little more body to this beer than the last one.
Definitely.
So I'm getting a lot of hoppiness, not a lot of bitterness. And on the finish, I'm getting green tea.
I agree with you. I do get that.
Yep.
Nice poll.
Thanks.
This is the 2014 World Beer Cup champion. Whatever that means.
Well, it's pretty impressive.
It's quite a title.
Pale ales aren't normally my thing, but this one's pretty tasty. It's lighter. I like it.
Trying to figure out why, to me, it tastes very clean for a pale ale, even though it has it's listed as unfiltered. It just doesn't seem to have a lot of harshness to it.
No, it's not super hoppy.
Mm-mm.
It's of course, as a pale ale, you wouldn't expect it to be, but we talk about having a hop spectrum, and this is on the lighter side of the hops. Where
this, you'll like this, I think, Dal. This reminds me of a baby lizard's mouth. You take the lizard's mouth, cut it in half, and this is what you get.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's like the top half, though. It's like the upper spectrum of it.
Yeah.
That whole base boldness that lizard's mouth has, you cut that out, and then it's like it gives you the lighter top half of it.
And when you're talking about lizard's mouth, you're talking about a beer you guys have had previously.
Yeah, Figueroa Mountain, we had it recently, and it's one of the best beers I've had lately. So if you see it out there, grab that.
I mean, what I was going to say about this beer, it's kind of another comparison, is last night I had Dale's Pale Ale, which a lot of people have probably had. It's a pretty common, you know, pale ale. This is the complete opposite end of the spectrum of Dale's Pale Ale, in my opinion. I think Dale's Pale Ale is one of the stronger, like, more robust, flavorful IPAs, and this is way toned down from that. And I like it. It's just a different kind of refreshing taste.
I really enjoy this. I would love to have this regularly. It'd be great if this were in six packs. I could drink this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we kind of lucked out that the Nugget supermarket here has four different Pelican beers. Beverages and More doesn't have it. Total Wine and More doesn't have it. There must be something about Nugget, or maybe even our Nugget here, where they were able to get four different Pelican beers. And so when Jeff was up here 2 weeks ago, I sent him back with a whole batch of these. And so we all have the same beers tonight.
And Nugget is basically just a localized hoity-toity grocery store.
It's like Whole Foods, but not as worldly known.
I have a dumb question. So there's something on this bottle that I've never seen before. It says 5.9% alcohol by volume, 45 IBU. I know what those are. What's Play-Doh?
That's
it's
like
the
your...
stuff that comes in a little can when you're a kid.
Play-Doh, 13 degrees.
That's like your final gravity. It's another way to measure that.
Got it.
I believe.
I don't know.
Never,
I mean, most companies will
maybe
put
it's
that
original. I don't know.
A lot of companies put it on their website. They don't normally put it on the bottle.
It's brewing.
I think
information.
It's not too common.
The Play-Doh scale is an empirically derived hydrometer scale to measure density of beer wort in terms of percentage of extract by weight. It was developed in 1843 by Bohemian scientist Carl Balling.
His name wasn't Play-Doh?
Nope.
Interesting.
It was improved by German Fritz Play-Doh.
Ah.
He named it.
He named it. He Got took it. The credit.
He's getting all the royalties from the Play-Doh.
All right. Well, you learn something new every day you listen to the Beer of the Day podcast. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. The first time I even heard of Pelican Brewery was when I saw this article maybe 8 months ago, and it said the 17 breweries you have to visit in your lifetime. And I was looking through and I saw this brewery in Oregon on the coast, and they had this beautiful picture of the brewery and then the ocean and then this big rock out there, and I'll explain about the rock. But it looked really cool. And then a couple months later, I saw Pelican Beers at Nugget. And so it kind of piqued my interest because of the 17 most scenic breweries in the world. You know, that's for one in my grocery store to be on the list. That's pretty cool. And then a friend of mine, former coworker, just moved to Pacific City, Oregon. And so I told him, hey, you got to go check out this Pelican Brewery and let me know how it is. And so he's going to do that. I was hoping he'd have it done before tonight's show, but, you know, the show must go on.
We'll tell him how good it is.
Yeah, there you go. Because it was mentioned on this list, I wanted to bring up this article again and kind of go through and see which highlight a couple breweries that you might want to check out in your world adventures. And I have farmed this out to Britton and Joel.
So, I mean, you talk about the 17 most, or the 17 breweries that you should at one time visit in your lifetime. I think for me, I want to go to that Vermont Hill Farmstead Brewery. You know, to have six of their beers listed in the top 50 in the world. I mean, I've not even had one. I'm kind of like sitting here angry and frustrated that I haven't had one.
Let's go to Vermont.
Have you been to Vermont, Jeff?
I have not. I've been to 48 states.
Oh man!
I think there's been like movies where people make fun of Vermont because it's just not really nothing really comes from Vermont. But obviously they have.
Well, we've talked about it offline. We need to get some heady topper and we need to go to Vermont.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny. He's been to 48 states and not Vermont. But now you got a reason to go. There's one of the most one of the breweries you have to visit in your lifetime.
Alrighty.
So one of the beers or one of the breweries that was on this list that piqued my interest, obviously coming from being a Pittsburgh fan, I have friends in Pittsburgh, is Pittsburgh's Church Brew Works, which is inside a former Roman Catholic church. Sounds pretty rad to me.
If you travel with Britton, it's not that much fun because she wants to go to every church in every city.
They're awesome.
So this does not surprise me that it appeals to her.
Yeah, and you can drink award-winning beers like Celestial Gold in converted pews under stained glass windows. That sounds like something that I would want to do and that Joel would not want to do aside from the beer.
I've never drank in church before. It would be a first for me.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's just a couple. I have a link to this on the website, so you can go check it out and see if there's any on this list that you want to seek out when you're traveling around. Well, it wouldn't be a Beer of the Day podcast without talking about the business of beer. This week, the new news is that Ballast Point is going to going IPO. They're going to raise $172.5 million of investment money, and they will be listed on the NASDAQ under the symbol PINT.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. So a lot of back and forth on this online. I mean, a lot of people think it's cool. You know, you can, big fans of Ballast Point can own stock in their favorite brewery. Very good.
Or you can just buy some InBev and own a bunch of breweries.
Well, that's true. But you know, it also opens up to, you know, it's a publicly traded stock. Any other company can come in and buy in interest in Ballast Point. And then they say, you know, it really comes down to the same thing. Everyone says, you know, all these buyouts by the big corporations are fine for now. It doesn't really change the brewery. As a consumer, it actually makes it cheaper for us. It's okay. But then when the bubble hits, they are beholden to not some corporate overlord, but their stockholders. And they're going to have to see that the bottom line is the number one goal. And if it takes cutting quality, cost, ingredients, whatever, it ends up being the same thing. So in some ways, it's a good thing. In some, because you can invest in a brewery that you're a big fan of. In some ways, it long-term, maybe not a good thing. So it's another wrinkle in this complicated...
Yeah, well, I think with the craft beer explosion, though, you really created like a third level of brewer or brewery where they're not exactly corporate, but they're not exactly a craft brewer anymore. And we have a bunch of these big craft brewers in the middle, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
But then a lot of them that we're talking about lately, Founders was... Yeah. But
those are they're that middle rung of brewery.
Like Founders sold like 15% of theirs. Boulevard is more. They're like over half. Dogfish had just sold 15% of theirs.
Yeah.
So there's all these, you know, I don't know. It's just becoming more, I guess it's just the business of beer. And if you want to, you have to weigh expansion, paying out your initial investors, a lot of different things. And so it's interesting to see all the choices that these different breweries are making. But it happens so quickly. Every week I have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's still interesting to me. We've talked about this before, but it's still interesting to me with all these choices of great beers that we have. You know, every person per an ounce, as an American culture, we drink less beer than we have in the past and in the 80s.
Yeah.
And in the 90s, so even with all the great options we have.
True.
Well, I think after this IPO, you know, one of us needs to buy some stock and we can go down there again, and this time we'll be shareholders and they have to give us one of every beer.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, do you think after they raise this money, they can afford to pay somebody to serve us all the beers when we ask for them?
They will never live it down. And then... In other stories, a couple more expansions. I mean, we had Boulevard on the show a couple weeks ago. They've now announced that they're going to be expanding their distribution to Arizona and Kentucky. And then in next year, they're going to be going to Michigan, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, and Delaware.
No Vermont?
I don't. They may already be there. And then Mother Earth is going to build a new brewery in Idaho.
I thought that was a weird location.
It's like
interesting.
I don't know, the motherland,
right? But does it help their distribution much? I don't know, or maybe they're gonna move.
There's some thirsty people in Boise.
Yeah, where they don't drink anything.
Do they not?
I don't want to get into it here.
All right then. Well, on that note, we'll take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment, Emperor Norton Belgian Style from Almanac, and then two more beers from Pelican. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, right here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, for those that listen to this podcast regularly, you already know, but for those that don't, then you need to know that we have a website, beeroftheday.com, and it's there that we post all these beers that we've had on the show tonight and many, many more, and we feature the beer each day. So there's a new beer of the day each day. And you can get that by either coming to the website, or if you sign up on the site, we will email it to you each day, or if you put in your phone number, we will text it to your phone with a picture and a link to look at the beer of the day. If you're on social media, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. Like us on there. We have over 3,000 people liking us and seeing that beer of the day come across their timeline each day. If you're on Twitter, we are at Beer of the Day, and we're on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. If you have any comments about this show, be sure to let us know, and you can do so by emailing us feedback@beeroftheday.com. Now let's get back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Welcome back. It's our Strange Brew segment. This is where we find the strangest beer that we could find at the store, and we try it for you so you don't have to. Unless it turns out to be good like it was last week, and then you can. Tonight we have Emperor Norton Belgian Style Triple from Almanac Brewing Company in San Francisco. Emperor Norton was a citizen of San Francisco who in 1859 proclaimed himself Norton the First, Emperor of the United States, and subsequently Protector of Mexico.
I saw this guy on Bart once.
Kind of an odd duck, you could say. And so it's fitting that there would be a strange brew named for him.
So why is it strange?
Well, I picked it out because of the apricots.
Is there apricots in
it? You don't see a lot of beer with apricots. Yeah. So it's just one of those fruits that I think we pick up apricot flavors in a lot of beer, but this is one of the few that is actually brewed with apricots to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Dry hopped Belgian style ale brewed with apricots.
Okay.
So you got the hops in the Belgian style, which
it's pretty common now.
Pretty common now. And then you get the apricot.
Yeah, I hear you.
9% ABV.
It smells amazing.
Hey, and when we do the show every week, finding a strange brew, it's not that easy.
Unless we want to do another stochasticity or a Lips of Faith.
Yeah. Right. We got to mix it up. And I mean, a few weeks ago, you guys had an Almanac beer. I wasn't able to get it, but it was the strange brew, right? Was it a sour? Was it a pumpkin one?
The pumpkin sour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also had...
I'm glad I got this one.
The dog patch we didn't have on the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But they have several more. They have like the Citra sour and they have like some different hop sours.
I've had the dog patch. It's crazy sour. It's good. It's sour.
Best known for issuing his own currency, calling for the overthrow of the federal government, and for prophesizing a future bridge connecting San Francisco and Oakland.
Well, he won.
He got that right.
And it's an eccentric ale brewed in his honor.
So this kind of has the color and the aroma of a Hefeweizen, which, come to think of it, we never have Hefeweizens on this show.
Not very
often. But
it kind
of has that same... Yeah, it's got that look and...
You know, there's a lot of German Hefeweizens. They kind of have an apricot. The classic Hefeweizen kind of has an apricot smell to it. So I can see why you'd come up with that.
But I just had a sip, and it doesn't have like the weedy taste that I get from a Hefeweizen. It's much more of a Belgian style. I taste the apricots, but they're not overwhelming by any means.
And it's funny because... You think, you know, Belgian triple, apricots, that's a sweet beer right there. But the hops come through and just bring it way back. And it's really not sweet at all.
Mm-mm. No, just a little bit in the aftertaste.
A little bit.
You get the apricot seems to come through in the aftertaste after the hops have dissipated. And you get the little apricot sweetness in the aftertaste to me.
So with Belgians, I often feel like I'm getting a little bit of a syrup feel. Not necessarily a sweetness, but that feeling of a little bit of like thickness to it.
Yep.
And I get this on this beer, and I was expecting when I closed my eyes that it was going to be some sort of brown color when I tasted it, but it's actually like a more goldish, like it wouldn't be surprised if this was some sort of lager with a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit cloudier than a lager. But
kind of the blonde ale color.
Yeah, blonde ale. But I was shocked at how like thick it tasted for what it looks like.
Definitely.
The apricot's really like an accumulating taste. The more you drink it, the more you taste the apricot. But even then, it really dissipates pretty fast. So that I like that effect where it's not an overpowering beer with all the different flavors.
It's
so I have a question for Joel Britton. I don't know if you looked, but do you know what the alcohol percentage is? Do you have a guess? Don't say it if you looked.
I looked.
I didn't look.
What do you think? If you had to guess what the alcohol percentage is, Britton, what would you say?
Jeff is coming to us from the moon tonight.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone was wondering about our connection issues.
Took the 405 to the moon.
9.
He's spot on.
Yeah.
9%.
Is it?
Good guess.
I didn't look.
I just thought it would be a lot lower than that. It doesn't taste like 9% to me.
Did I say that?
You did.
We'll have to roll the tape back.
You did.
Oh, man.
All right, so maybe subconsciously that sunk into her brain.
She knew. Even if she didn't know, she knew.
That's right.
Britton never loses an argument. She heard it for show.
You know, it's a Belgian triple. It's going to be at least 8%. It's going to be between 8 and 10 most likely. And I taste like the... It's got a lot of like the small bubble carbonation you get from a lot of Belgian beers. What?
I just accidentally poured myself a huge amount. I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, we have a beer coming up next.
I know. I just looked at my beer. I'm like, dang.
You can give me some of that. It's, you know, I really enjoy this beer. I enjoy this style. Some of the hoppy Belgians aren't done very well, but I feel like this has enough complexity that it's worth it.
And I think the hops are more reserved in it. You don't get like the... Sometimes I think those styles clash and... It's very rare that I find one that I like. This one here keeps the hops a little bit more on the minimum side, and then it is pretty sweet, and it ends up being a better mix than a lot of those Belgian IPAs that we get people trying out. I understand
the
reason.
Do you guys get any sourness or tartness? Like, I don't think this is sweet at all. I get some sourness on the aftertaste.
I'm getting that too. I kept on kind of breathing out for prolonged periods of time after each sip, and the longer I'm exhaling, the sourer it gets.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. If you take a sip and then just like exhale for 10 seconds.
We'll wait for you.
I'm turning purple.
I think Dallas talked about this. Like, it does have a pretty, like, hoppy IPA taste to it, and doesn't really say anything about that on the bottle. I mean, there's
it's dry hopped.
It does say it's dry hopped, but I feel like it has a lot of hop flavor.
It does.
Also, was thinking that. So when I smelled it, it smelled amazing, and then the taste didn't necessarily follow, and it didn't taste the way I expected it to.
It has a lot of IPA qualities to it.
Yeah, it does.
There's a dankness there.
It does have a little bit of a honey flavor without the extreme sweetness to it, too.
And do you get that apricot in the aftertaste?
I do.
It's kind of like the toned down dried apricot, though.
Yeah, it is dried apricot.
Like,
perfect.
Like eating a dried apricot.
And it dissipates quickly.
Yeah.
But the quicker you keep drinking it, the more it's there, and you would notice it if it was gone.
Until you kept on drinking it quickly, and then you wouldn't notice anything.
Right.
There is that dankness that turns into the sour that I think Jeff's talking about.
A lot of complexity in this one. Yeah. This is a very interesting beer, just like Emperor Norton was an interesting dude. All right, well, let's move in back into the Pelican phase. I have some history of the Pelican pub and brewery. So in 1995, Jeff Shawns and Mary Jones purchased an old brick building on the ocean front in Pacific City, Oregon. It's a small beachfront town with a population of just over 1,000 people, maybe 1,200 people at this point. And they're trying to decide what to do with it, and they decided, you know what, we should open up a microbrewery in 95. That's what you called it. They didn't know the first thing about brewing beer, so they decided to go to a craft brewers conference in Portland. They know a thing or two about making beer. And while they were there, they decided, you know what, we should try and see if anyone here is interested in coming and brewing beer for us. So they put a little ad on a 3x5 note card and tacked it to a bulletin board, said they were looking for a brewer. And the note card caught the attention of Darren Welch, who is called him up, said he was interested, and he's now been the head brewer of Pelican Brewery ever since. Moved to Pacific City, and the rest is history. So they have a really great spot. Obviously, it was on the list of the 17 breweries you have to visit in your lifetime, and it's the pictures I've seen, it's pretty cool. You got the brew pub right there on the beach, and then out in the ocean is this huge rock. It's called Haystack Rock. It used to be called Chief Kiawanda Rock, and Kiawanda, it was the name of the beer we had earlier. This is Chief Kiawanda, a little different spelling, but...
And it tasted like a haystack.
It's 327 feet tall. This is the fourth largest sea stack or offshore monolith in the world.
Fourth largest?
Fourth largest.
Wow.
And what's funny is that this is actually only the second most popular sea stack named Haystack Rock in Oregon. An hour and a half up the road, up the 101 on Cannon Beach, there's another rock that's called Haystack Rock that is very similar, but it's actually more famous than the one in Pacific Beach. So
the record company's got to love that.
There's actually a third Haystack Rock about 2 hours south of that in Coos County. So there's three rocks in off the coast of Oregon named Haystack Rock, and one of them is by Pacific Beach. Now, yesterday, Pelican Brewery broke ground on their second brewery in Cannon Beach, which is close to the other Haystack Rock.
They're not going to put it right on the rock, are they?
No, no. It's actually in town, but it's, you know, within short distance of this other rock. So they have a theme going with the Haystack Rocks and the brewery, but it's pretty interesting. So I definitely, when we're up there, up on the coast, I mean, we have in Newport, which is about 40 minutes south of there, they have Rogue. I've been there. That's really cool. And so the Oregon coast is, there's a lot of breweries popping up. Obviously, you go all the way up to Portland, and there's a lot of breweries. So definitely cool to check out if you're in that neck of the woods.
It definitely looks like a place I would want to go and have a beer and watch the sunset and just kick it, because the pictures are fantastic.
Definitely. Yeah. Very small town.
I want to kick it too.
All right, let's kick the next beer up. We have Umbrella Single Hop India Pale Ale, 7.4%, 60 IBU. Now we're getting into things here.
Man, these beers, these Pelican beers are just all the same color. Very similar.
It's funny you say that, because last time we went to Lagunitas or whatever, we had like six beers. They're all different. They were almost identical.
All that dark color?
No, it's a pretty light IPA color. Like they were all
slightly almost darker than this.
Yeah, darker than this, but just identical in color.
We get there, we go to the bar, we order our beers, and then we go out and stand on the patio. The place is packed. There's nowhere to sit. And it's me and Brandon and Andy standing there, and we're holding, and Kira, and we're holding beers, and they all look exactly the same, and they're all different. So sometimes breweries get into their color scheme, and they stick to it.
Well, and I'm thinking this is all the color of hay. Hay stack, like, it's just a really pale yellow.
They colored their beer after that rock.
Yes!
Which one?
Yes.
One of three.
The one in Pacific Beach or Cannon?
Or the other one.
Or Coos.
Coos County.
Coos County.
All right. Well, you guys smell this. This has an aroma.
It smells like dirt.
It's very dank. Is it dank? I don't know. It's strong.
It tastes like those.
I reserve dirt for one beer company.
It smells like fresh grass that's cut.
This reminds me of the not. What was the one after Founders? Founders.
The Founders?
Not Boulevard. This reminds me of those Founders IPA. The Centennial. Yeah. It smells exactly like it.
It's a little fresher. Like the Centennial had like that
true
malty aroma.
It was a little more stale. A little farther to travel.
Kind of smells like urine to me.
Urinal cake? Actually, the Founders show, I said urinal cake a lot, so that's possible.
What is a urinal cake?
Oh, you don't know because you don't
you don't have
in
that.
The urinals,
organ.
There's this little like minty fresh cake on the bottom.
I'm sorry, I'm not well versed in urinal cakes.
And you don't think of that. Like women don't know what urinal cakes are, but
what the hell are you talking about?
You alienated half of our audience.
Well, I'm here to bring it back.
They're in their car listening to the podcast. And they're like, what the hell is he talking about? What is this drunk idiot talking about? Urinal cake. Also, I'm sure they appreciated you comparing their beer to tasting like a urinal cake.
It was aroma. So it's
how
okay.
Do you know what this tastes like? I mean,
why would you use
aroma,
the term,
aroma?
Why would you use the term cake?
Like, that's what they're called, because they're little discs.
Are you sure they're not tablets?
They should be called tablets.
Yeah, but they're called tablets? They're called urinal cakes.
All right.
Because we don't.
Yeah, let's get back to the.
Sorry.
Beer.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah. I'm
going to have to cut this short.
So this is the Umbrella Single Hop India Pale Ale, and I'm shocked of how it doesn't seem to jump as far as I thought it would from their standard pale ale, the Flock Wave that we had earlier. I mean, it definitely has a little bit more hoppiness, but it has that same kind of, almost like the same tone to it as the unfiltered pale ale, but it doesn't jump to me from a pale ale to an India pale ale from, you know, these two beers. It's very similar to the last one we had.
Yeah. And we're talking, a percent and a half more alcohol, which is considerable. After this show, I'm gonna have to compare these side by side just to see, because this doesn't. It's very similar to me.
Yeah, but it's more, and I use this word a lot on the show, and I wish I didn't, but it's more substantial. It's just more. It's more of everything.
Yeah, more of everything. And I think if you smell the two, you would notice right away. There's definitely a difference in smell, but a difference in taste is just, like you said.
The other one went down a lot easier. Not that this one's hard to drink, but the other one was just that refreshing.
Right, but normally there's more differences between the style of the beer. It's like they took that beer and they just dialed it up a little bit. You know, it's like it's not a different beer in any aspect of it. It's just a little bit more hoppy, a little bit more malty, a little bit more alcohol, a little bit more flavor. It's like it's the same beer, just instead of a six, it's now a 7.5.
Being an IPA pansy, the aroma really, I was like bracing myself for some crazy like hoppy bitterness that's
true.
Not there.
Nope,
and
not there.
That pleasantly surprises me.
Okay. Have you read about this beer?
No.
I have.
Okay, besides Jeff then, there's only one hop in this beer. Any guesses?
Well, I think he already said it, Centennial. I mean, I'm guessing. Nope.
We're not going to get it, but...
Cascade?
No.
Simcoe.
It's Ella Hops, and they're from Australia.
Oh.
Which is not one of the Southern Hemisphere hops I'm very familiar with at all. I've never heard of it.
Well, the only one I'm familiar with is the Nelson Hop, but other than that...
Right.
Well, it's Ella.
Galaxy.
It's Ella Good.
Is Galaxy Southern Hemisphere?
I think so.
Well, it tastes like home, mate.
I think a lot of Southern Hemisphere hops to me have kind of a tropical fruit flavor, and I get some fruitiness in this for sure.
Do
but
you get
it's,
any gooseberry aroma?
I don't know what gooseberry tastes like.
It must be an Australian thing. It's on the bottle.
But it's kind of like when I think of tropical fruits, I think of like guava, like passion fruit,
yeah,
lychee. I get that kind of characteristic from this hop. You know, the flavor in this beer, I get that tropical fruit flavor.
It's interesting that a brewery that prides themselves on being a Pacific Northwest brewery, and maybe this isn't their traditional IPA. This is a single hop IPA, so they're this might be more of an experimental series for them. But generally, if you're going to have a flagship IPA for an Oregon brewery, it's going to have Oregon hops. And so to go, so I'm guessing this is probably not their flagship IPA, but it's the one they had at the store, so I bought it.
Our flagship IPA. No, I'm kidding.
So 20 to 30 seconds in, it's got a weird sweetness that lingers.
It does.
And it's not, there's not that, like, for me, the mark of an IPA is that bitterness at the end that I don't like, but this one doesn't have that. It has like a weird lingering sweetness.
It has a fruity sweetness, syrupiness to it.
Yeah, it's a syrupy, it seems really like a syrupy version of the pale ale we had earlier.
Yeah.
It has kind of a coating, the mouthfeel, I think of like a coating in your mouth. And to me, it's neither good nor bad, but there's just this syrupy coating as you take a sip.
Like what I was trying to think of how to describe like the sweetness as it stays. And it's almost like after you have one of those like hard candies and then you can still taste it like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like a butterscotch one. Like you can kind of feel it in your mouth after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like, it's not very bitter.
No, not at all.
It's very drinkable. You know, yeah. There's nothing wrong with the beer.
Nope.
You can drink that on any occasion. It's just it's not distinguishing itself from its lighter, younger brother to me. But it is interesting. The hop profile is different than we're used to, and the fact that it comes from a hop that we probably haven't ever had before makes sense.
And as a person who doesn't really like IPAs, like I can drink this. This is, I like it.
All right, well, let's move into the next beer then. We have one more notch up the ladder, rung up the ladder, I guess you'd say.
Not a notch in the belt?
One more notch, tighten your belt, one more notch. We have the Imperial Pelican Ale. It has the name of the brewery in the beer. It has to be good, right?
And it pours a little bit darker than the other ones.
That's a word on the second half of the show.
Yeah, it does. It's a lot. It's more
golden. Caramel color.
No, caramel's a good word, yeah.
8%. All right.
I can tell just on the aroma, this is going to be maltier than the other ones.
The aroma, you can tell.
They went away from their straw-colored beers with this one.
I also noticed that on all their other beers, they put the ABV and the IBU on the bottle, this one.
And the Play-Doh.
Yeah.
So we've talked about...
This one has it also. It's just incorporated into the...
No. So that's funny that you say that because this...
They put it in a pelican feather as opposed to at the bottom of the beer.
And the bottle is a different color as well. The other ones...
No. So this says limited edition label. So is the beer not limited edition? Just the label?
And I noticed that... So as a person in marketing, I was like, ooh, the branding on this is way different. Just looks way different.
This is the best label out of all of them.
Yeah,
it's celebrating 50 years of conservation. I'm assuming it's some sort of celebrating National Wildlife Refuge, Ridgefield National Wildlife Refuge. Commemorative bottle of Imperial Pelican Ale pays tribute to this place located on the banks of the Columbia River in Ridgefield, Washington, with over 5,000 acres. Basically, they're celebrating conservation.
Okay, so,
yeah,
great.
I like that.
And this is the first beer that I've smelled from this brewery where I've thought this one might have a little bit of brown sugar taste to it from the smell.
Apparently that's funny.
No, it wasn't. I was thinking about something else.
Andy's like losing his shit over here.
What are you thinking about?
Nothing.
Why don't you just tell us and I'll edit it out.
That when he's like, well, all the other bottles have the ABV and the IBU. And then I go like this. It's like, well, this one has it too.
I don't know why. I know what Dallas was getting at. It's the only one on the agenda where he did not list the IBU.
Because he didn't know it was on the bottle, but it was.
It's very obvious.
It pricked his balloon and it was like the deflation.
I took a picture of each of these bottles and I used that picture to read the bottles, but you have to turn that bottle to get that information. All right, so I'm going to cut all that out. Yeah. And we're just going to be quiet. Okay. And then we're going to go back to talking about beer.
I think you should leave it.
Leave it.
So this one has a brown sugar kind of smell to it. And I was shocked because of all the ones we've had, I haven't had that taste or that smell from any of the other ones before. This one has a more, not much of a hop, but more of a that sweetness caramel smell to it or butterness to it.
It has a fleeting bitterness. This one actually does give you a little bit of bitter, but it's there and then it's gone super fast.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, what does this bottle say? 85 IBU?
Yeah.
It's really not that bitter compared to many, many Imperial IPAs. Is this an Imperial IPA?
It calls itself Imperial Pelican Ale.
I was going to ask, is that a category we need to add to the website?
Where's the Pelican beers?
Yes.
I feel like I've had
Is it an
stouts.
IPA?
Yes.
It's
got to be, yeah.
I mean,
so we'll just sure. Let's just call it. It's an IPA.
I feel like I've had stouts that are more bitter than this with fewer IBUs.
I don't think it's that bitter.
It's more bitter than the last one, but it's not.
So I found with all the new hop varieties, and I don't know what's in this, but like IBU becomes not a very good measurement stick because it's really a scientific calculation.
Of how many ounces of...
How much bitterness is in this beer, but it doesn't define what bitterness is.
Well, it's how many ounces of hops you put in during what time of the boil that you're boiling it for 60 or
how much alpha acid you're going to extract from your hops. Basically, that's what it is. And if you're using these floral or fruity hops, you're going to have a lot of IBU, but you're not going to have a lot of actual bitterness.
Or if you have those dank
hops,
you're going to have a ton of IBU.
So 85 IBU on this beer is different from another beer, and I just feel like that misleads people these days.
I think that in general, every single one of these beers that we've had is less bitter than their counterparts of the same listed style for other breweries.
So I'd be interested in this. If you had to describe all of these beers in one category, this is all one set of, you know, we've had four beers from this one brewery. What word would you use to describe these four beers from this one brewery? I mean, I have a word.
Is it haystack?
For me,
drinkable.
I mean, yeah, I would say clean. They just all taste clean to me.
I would say, with the exception of the first one, I would say fruity. I feel like the last three have been pretty fruity.
I agree.
I
think they're all fruity. I think they're all more drinkable versions of whatever the style is.
Yeah.
So if you compare each beer to whatever style, if you just pull people off the street, these are going to be more palatable to them than other beers of the same style.
Are they more like session? Is that the word that you
Session
use
it
to
means
describe?
Less alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Jeff, do you have a word that comes to mind when you think of all these?
Strategery.
lockbox.
You know, they're okay. Mediocre to me.
Okay.
Mm. So they're good. So drinkable.
Britton, do you have anything that comes to mind?
I think they're all marked with a sweetness. They're all sweet.
Okay. So we have sweet, drinkable, mediocrity, clean, and fruity.
Mediocrity.
Yeah. I think mediocrity is a negative word. I think
unless he meant it.
Yeah, unless he meant it. Yeah, I mean, okay is what he used as the other word.
I think these beers are okay.
So, I mean,
There's nothing that stands out in any of these so far that I love.
I think
they are all very drinkable.
But do you think there's anything that stands out in them, and do you think they're done well, whether you like them or not? Because that's the difference between being mediocre and just being something you don't like.
No, I like all of them. Mediocrity to me means I will drink them again, but they're not great.
Jeff, I'm going to help you out here. All of my friends at work make so much fun of me, and I use this word at least once a day. Serviceable. It's serviceable. It works.
I think you're all saying these words, mediocrity, serviceable, because they have made the decision to be to dial it back from the extremes and be universally palatable to anybody.
I think they're very well crafted.
And so on this show and our palates, and we're always looking for people that are pushing the envelope on boldness, on hoppiness, and in each of these beers is not that.
Yeah.
It's dialing it back so that it's going to be most, a lot of people are going to like this beer. But maybe when we're comparing it to the extreme beers that we drink on this show, they don't quite stack up.
So after you said that, Dallas, I think that's a good description. Joel and I watch a show a lot called Ink Master, and they use the word safe.
Yeah.
They're safe.
I don't see it that way. I think they're doing something that nobody really does. You say they're dialing it back, but they're really not. They're dialing it back would be making the same beer, but not quite as strong. This is a whole different genre of these types of beers. They're really going in the other direction. The different direction.
They are, you think they're bucking the trend?
Yes.
Or do you think the trend has got so far out of whack that they're bringing it back to like reality?
Back to reality, but they're using, you know, new hops that didn't even exist probably 5 years ago. They're using, you know, different styles of beer or different ways of brewing to get something you don't get regularly. The whole trend of getting hoppier and bolder, and that can only go so far. It's going to reach a point to where nobody can drink any of that beer. So what's going to happen? They're going to go back a different direction. And this is where I see it going. We see it with, I feel like Lizard's Mouth fits in with these beers we had. I feel like that Sierra Nevada Harvest Ale, the one with the experimental hops, was a lot like these beers as well. They're all kind of that same genre, and it's something we're seeing that's new.
Well, here's how I see it. They've been doing this since, what did Dallas say, 1995?
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty old in the craft brewery business. And they do this in a town of 1,200 people, and they're obviously doing something right. So most of us, we like this, but it's been pretty successful in the craft brewer world. So we've got to give them props for that.
Well, I mean, the fact that at 95, and this is the first time we're having this beer, they have to have kept limited production.
Right.
They're not trying to expand anything. They're doing their thing, and they're not worried about making it big, right? It would be interesting to get somebody from the brewery to interview, to just see what their frame of mind is on their beer versus all the trends in the beer industry. So, hey, anyone from Pelican that ends up listening to this show, you're welcome to come on any podcast, and we will, I'd love to ask you some questions about your beer. So let's keep that in mind, because I think that would be interesting to learn about that. All right. Well, it's time to recap the beers we've had tonight, and then we will work towards figuring out what our favorite beer of the day was. Andy, you want to take us through the beers we had?
Yeah. So we started off with the Kiwanda Cream Ale, and all these beers are obviously from Pelican Brewing, except for our Strange Brew. The second beer we had was the Flockwave Unfiltered Pale Ale. And then we came back from commercial with the Strange Brew, the Emperor Norton Belgian Style Triple from Almanac. Then we had our Umbrella Single Hop IPA. And we finished it off with the Imperial Pelican Ale. So, Jeff.
Again?
Yeah, you kind of got screwed by this bottle here, though. I'll start. Never mind. You can go last. You can be the deciding
factor. I don't mind going.
Okay, then go.
You go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I don't like. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You.
Okay, I'll go. I am going to go with the Flockwave Unfiltered Pale Ale.
Hmm.
Of all these beers, I really enjoyed all of them. Except, you know, the first one I didn't really like, the cream ale. It kind of had that corny aftertaste. I really don't enjoy that. But I could tell that it was well crafted. It didn't put me off like a Bud Light, you know, or a Coors Light. But of these last three beers, they really had some similar flavors, and they were just kind of getting ramped up. One to the next was you're just walking up a staircase, you know. But the first one, the Flockwave Unfiltered Pale Ale, that's a beer I could drink every day. If it was sold in a six-pack, I would drink it all the time. Britton?
I'm going to agree with you, Andy. The Flockwave is also my beer of the day. I think mostly because that one surprised me the most. I didn't think that I was going to like it that much, and it was very mild and something that I think that even for the style, which I'm not a big fan of, like I could totally drink it every day.
So I'm going to go with the Emperor Norton Belgian style triple. Sorry. This, I don't know. I really liked the complexity. We talked about the complexity of it. And then also for me, the mouthfeel was so like perfect and smooth that I'm going to have to choose that one. Dallas?
All right. I'm going to take the Umbrella Single Hop IPA. This beer seemed very similar to that unfiltered pale ale, but it was just ramped up a little bit more. So I like the added boldness of it, although it was still pretty subdued. I enjoyed the different hop taste. A lot of times you get experimental hop flavors from beers, trying new things, and a lot of times it rubs me the wrong way, where it's a little too different than the hops that I'm used to, which is a lot of Pacific Northwest hops, California hop varieties. I mean, I've listed them many times. This one, even from being from Australia, was pretty, it agreed with my palate. So it's like Flockwave turned up a little bit and a hop flavor that I enjoyed. So I'm going to go with Umbrella Single Hop IPA. Jeffrey.
All right. I'm going to agree with Dallas. I thought I was going to be the only one to pick this. But without a doubt for me, the Umbrella was my beer of the day. The Ella hops, not a hop I'm familiar with. I really don't know it at all. And I generally don't like Southern Hemisphere hops, but I like this one. I like the freshness of this beer. I thought it had a good dank aroma. And I like the tropical fruit flavors that those, you know, this single hop imparted on the beer. And so I thought it was the most flavorful. I thought it was tasty. I liked every aspect of that beer. It wasn't the best beer I've ever had, but out of all of these, is my favorite. So I have to go with the Umbrella Single Hop.
All right. Excellent. Well, we had a good variety of choices here tonight. Everyone, for the most part, had something they liked from all the different beers that we had. All right. Well, I found a Pelican song to play us out, but as I was listening to it, it never mentioned the word pelican in the song, and so it really didn't make sense. So we'll just go with something similar. And we will close out our Pelican show, but thank you for tuning in to us for this episode, and remind you to check out our website, beerofthedaybeerofthedaycom. All the beers on the show tonight will be the beer of the day in upcoming weeks, and we will spread them out and mix them in with other seasonal pumpkin beers that we're approaching here as we get to Halloween time. beerofthedaybeerofthedaycom. And if you're on Facebook, like us on Facebook, Twitter, @beerofthedaybeeroftheday, Instagram, Beer of the Day site. And remember, send us your feedback and you can get those coasters, six pack of coasters, and I'll mail them to you.
Bye, everybody.
Wait. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time on the Beer of the Day podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Adios, muchachos.
See you later.